Oh, where is this radio program for seniors? I can't find it. Errol, what's this radio thing called that we're looking for seniors?
Oh, I don't know, Arthur. Isn't it wireless something or something wireless? You should have written it down when I told you to.
Hang on. I think this might be it.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Ageing Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Ageing, CODA Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age, working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
Radio Coda.
You know, Arthur, this weather's been so hot, I reckon our electricity bill's going to go through the roof, and we haven't even been using our air conditioner this summer. Every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing, and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Coda podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Coda Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings at cotaqld.org. QLD.org.au. A timely reminder from the RSPCA. Last Easter school holidays, a staggering 208 animals were reported as being abandoned. While some of this number actually had been abandoned, there were others that actually had someone assigned to care for them. The problem is that the animals' owners often neglect to notify neighbours, and these neighbours report the matter to us, said the RSPCA Queensland spokesperson Michael Beattie. I would urge anyone who leaves their pets in the care of family or friends to register with our Home Alone service. The Home Alone service was set up to alleviate the burden on already overworked inspectors who were continually being called to investigate possible cases of neglect and cruelty during the holiday periods. Many people leave pets at home and rely on the goodwill of neighbours and friends to keep them fed, watered and exercised, said Mr. Beattie. The problem is that often these friends forget or the animal escapes and we have no one to contact in case of emergencies. With Home Alone, people can register their pet on our website and leave the name and contact details of the people taking care of the animal. That way we know whom to contact in case of emergencies. Simply by completing your details on Home Alone when your family is going on holidays, you can be reassured that RSPCA inspectors will contact you or your animal's nominated caregiver if a complaint is lodged or the animal ends up at an RSPCA shelter. Your pet is your responsibility. A pet is for life, not just your convenience. You can register your details by either calling the call centre on 3426 9999 or by seeking further information on the RSPCA website, which is www.rspcaqld.org.au. Ange and I are here at the Donald Simpson Centre with Bernie Cornish. We also have with us Tony Christensen, who's the chairman of the Donald Simpson Centre. So to Tony and Bernie, good morning and welcome to Radio Kota.
Thanks, Andy.
Good morning.
Bernie, please, could you just share a little bit of your history of your days in the British military?
Yes, I started off life in the British Army. I was in there for 12 years. I went to Sandhurst and was commissioned into the Royal Electoral Mechanical Engineers, or Rough Engineering, as we made easy, as we call it.
Okay.
And then I graduated from the Royal Military College of Science with a Mechanical Engineering degree from London University. I then served in Germany for 3 years with my wife and family. And then I ran a workshop with an armoured regiment in Germany. And then we were told that we were going to convert to armoured cars.
Okay.
The regiment was horrified at this and said they were going into sardine tins. But cut a long story short, after another 6 months, we were told that we were going to serve in Aden for a year unaccompanied. So I dropped my wife off in England with one child of two and one of 6 weeks. And I said, hopefully I'll see you in a year's time.
Mm.
We were based in Little Aden. And we had two squadrons on the Yemen border and one in the Persian Gulf up at Sharjah. After the year, the regiment moved back to Northern Ireland and I was in Omar for 3 months. And we then went back to England and was posted to the Rimi recruiting section. They obviously didn't want too many recruits because I'd already said I was going to resign my commission. But having said that, my wife and I decided that the weather in England was not to our liking
anymore.
She was born in India and used to the more tropical climate, so we ultimately decided that we would like to come to Australia. So I became a civilian at midnight, and we got on a plane that afternoon at 4:30 to fly to Perth.
No mucking around. You knew what you were doing.
Well, I thought I did.
Yeah.
Nobody can predict the future, so planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can ensure your financial, medical, and personal wishes are respected and followed. Kota Queensland have developed information sessions about choosing an enduring power of attorney, planning ahead, and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and, should they be required, will act on your wishes. These sessions are free, interactive, and available from February 2017 until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a community or seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings@cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking for your community or seniors group. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
What are we listening to?
Radio Kota.
When we got to Perth, I walked the streets of Perth for 6 weeks to try and get a job as a professional engineer. And was ultimately interviewed by an ex-Ramey colonel who wanted the plant workshops re-establishing for the Commonwealth Federal Government Department of Works. I did that for 3 years, and one night was phoned up to say, would you like to build a lighthouse? Or in fact, it wasn't would I like to, it was you're going to build a lighthouse. One of the other engineers in the department had been taken sick, and they decided that the job had to go ahead on time. So after a trial build of the stainless steel lighthouse in Perth, we set sail from Fremantle and we went to Rowley Shoals, which is 200 miles out to sea from Broome. It was a strip of sand, 300 feet long, 100 feet wide, and about 3 feet above high water mark.
Goodness me.
The Commonwealth lightship had all the provisions and all the equipment, and we ferried that ashore on amphibious larks. And after the first 4 or 5 days, I decided that we'd never get the job finished on time if we had to go back and forth to the ship each night because of the tides. And so we established a camp, the Hotel Rowley Shoals, on the site.
On a tiny little strip of sand.
Yeah, so we did all our own meals and we were self-sufficient.
So the 3 foot above...
High watermark.
That's high watermark, good to hear. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. Worst case scenario, you hit 3 feet of grace.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's incredible.
We used to have a weekly airdrop of mail, and the ship's crew were excellent. We used them to help us pour 100 tons of concrete in one day by hand using a big concrete mixer, and we finished the job 3 days ahead of schedule.
Mm.
We set sail back to Port Hedland and we radioed in to see if we could get flights back earlier, and there was no hope of that. So we landed and naturally everyone made a beeline for the nearest pub. So I said to the supervisor who was with me, I said, look, we'll go down the airline office just to see if we can get any flights at all. And walked in and they said, well, we've just had a cancellation of 15 from one of the air mining companies.
And there are how many of you?
14. So we filled the plane.
Excellent.
And got back to Perth at about 9:30 at night. I got home about an hour later and my wife said, I think you better take me to the hospital. And our daughter was born at midnight.
Goodness. That's engineering at its finest, though.
Yeah, all family planning at its best.
Yeah.
And so anyway, after a short while I was asked, how would I like to build a causeway from Rockingham to Garden Island in Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2¾-mile long causeway with 2 bridges. I said, yes, I'd like to do that. Not many people have done such a task. And so I did that. And once the causeway was completed, one of the other engineers did the main bridge. I did the first trestle bridge. We put the rock back into Rockingham.
Mm-hmm.
We carted over 1 million tons of rock through the township. Having done that, I then became resident engineer for the project for the next 10 years and was there when it was commissioned in 1978. HMAS Stirling, which is one of the largest facilities now for the Navy in Australia.
Mm.
From there, I went to Townsville as project manager, North Queensland, and did a lot of work for the Navy as the Cairns Patrol Boat Base, Townsville International Airport, and then a lot of work at Laverack Barracks for the Army and for the RAF at Garbutt RAF base. I then came in 1984, came back to Brisbane as the design and resources manager and eventually became project manager for defence for Queensland. Then it was decided that really there wasn't a need for a Commonwealth construction organisation, and so I took a redundancy in 1994 and went to work for one of the large consulting companies in Brisbane for 2 years. And then got involved in a group that wanted to build a privately funded spaceport.
Okay.
Went to Russia, met a lot of very talented Russian engineers who'd been involved in the space industry for over 30 years. And we looked at sites in New Guinea, Tiwi Islands, and eventually the site that was selected was Hummock Island off Gladstone.
And at this point you're essentially retired, aren't you?
Yes, I was retired, yes. Yes, yeah. I retired for a whole day. And then... having done that, unfortunately, the funding ran out in 2001, so I retired more officially.
Yes.
And after that is when I became involved in the art group at the Donald Simpson Centre.
Mm.
And it's good, I think, to have an outside interest. We live in a retirement village at Victoria Point. That is a very pleasant lifestyle, very nice area to live in.
Absolutely.
I've met some very nice people in the Donald Simpson Centre.
Yes.
And we have an art show every year in Seniors Week. It's a very happy little group.
Bernie, we've been informed of your immense art talents and skills and seen some of the artwork hanging around the walls here. It's an incredible thing. This has been a lifelong thing, though, pretty much, the art interest for yourself?
Oh, probably in the early 70s.
Okay.
Then there were long periods when work took over, and I didn't do much art for perhaps 10, 12 years.
Right.
And then took it up again when I heard about this group here. In our group, we don't have an official tutor or teacher, but there are people who are talented in watercolours, pastels, acrylics, oils, etc. And if you need some advice, and that's a nice way to spend 2 or 3 hours each week.
Absolutely. So essentially it's a peer education process, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Radio Coda has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories and let us know what interests you. Radio Coda is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line, we would love to hear from you.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Bernie, you were also mentioning that you went to gym 3 times a week.
Yes.
So, clearly you're a man that likes to keep busy. What else do you do?
I've been president of the Residents Association twice, for 2 years on each occasion. I like to keep involved in what makes the place tick.
Mm.
Again, we have a big cross-section of the community in the village. Made some very nice friends.
Mm.
It's a pleasant way to live.
Absolutely. We see all these faces around about the centre, and a lot of the time we don't know the stories behind these faces. And a remarkable story like yours, Bernie, I'm sure if we had the time to walk through the centre and talk with everyone, we'd be amazed at where people have come from and so on. And hopefully, bit by bit, we might get an opportunity to do that and bring some more stories for our listeners. Tony, obviously the Donald Simpson Centre is such an important part of a lot of people's lives. How does that feel for you as the chairman? It must be an exciting role that you're in.
Well, it is, Andy. It's challenging as well as exciting because we have to keep the centre up to scratch and operating so that they can come here and enjoy it.
Mm.
And at the same time, we have to realise that all of us are getting older and eventually we stop coming here, and we've got to make sure as a board that we've put the centre in a position where it can attract a younger group coming through as well, which also does give you that dynamic of having a mixture of younger and older people here at the same time, which is terrific, really.
Mm.
I don't share the criticism I hear sometimes, particularly on places like Facebook, about the younger generation. I think they hold a lot of hope for the world, really, much more than people give them credit for.
Well, they are our future, aren't they?
They are.
Tony, how do you come up with the ideas for the programs and activities that you run here? Is that something that's done with the actual people that attend?
With difficulty to start with, because sometimes people just come along and suggest things, and that's easy as long as you can get enough people to make it viable.
Mm.
For example, we started things like, a couple of times someone started to try and get rejuvenate darts here, and it hasn't taken. We've got dart boards in the auditorium, good dart board setups, and not being used at the moment. We've started a discussion group just to get people together talking who want to talk about current issues or whatever comes up. That's gradually perhaps taking off.
That's exciting to hear.
Think something like a book club. We haven't really been able to get going, but perhaps there are too many of those around the place already. Other things, I was also trying to start a garden club. All that was weeds and mess before Sunday when my wife and I and one of the board members came down and cleaned it all up. And we're getting ready to replant veggies out there and herbs.
Oh, brilliant.
And that's as far as I've got with the trellis there. But that sort of thing, if we can get a garden club, a lot of people like gardening. Perhaps they like doing their own gardening more than gardening here. But the beauty of this place, as Bernie alluded to, is that it's a chance to get away from where you normally live, whether it's in a home or in a residential facility, and come and talk to some other people.
Mm.
And that's the thing you'll see as you walk around here, that people are chatting to each other all the time. Or even in the art group, you'll see someone painting for a while, then they'll down the brush and get up and walk down and have a chat to somebody at another table, and it's good to see. And I guess the centre was started to combat social isolation, which has been a challenge for all community groups, for the senior community groups particularly, but also those who deal with disabled people, to provide opportunities for them to get out, to mix with others, to learn new skills and so forth. And it's wonderful to see.
Paul was actually talking to us about that last week, where he said that there's a number of people with disability who come to the Donald Simpson Centre now, all different ages, and just seeing the interaction between, you know, the older folk and the people with disability, how there's a really nice rapport that's been developed there. And it's the idea of inclusion, which is fantastic down here. And, you know, being a Redland Bay girl, this is the absolute best place to live. And you just see there's so much diversity in the community. And we do have, an older population, quite a heavy older population.
We do.
But there is so much inclusion. There's so much opportunity for younger people to learn from the older people and vice versa. You know, we have the computer programs that you run here and everything as well. It's just such a beautiful place to be.
And Paul was sharing with us too, just the extent that you've gone to within the facilities for technological ways of supporting people that have hearing issues and so on and so forth. And it's incredible.
Yeah, we have one lady in our group who is quite severely disabled, and she expressed a desire to do watercolours. And one of the other ladies in our group is quite a talented watercolour painter, and the disabled lady has now progressed to producing excellent watercolour paintings on her own with guidance from this other lady.
Yeah.
Not formal teaching, but just encouraging her and showing her what can be done with the watercolours.
Yeah. That's fantastic, isn't it?
I think that's a great point that you made there, that, as we spoke earlier, within your art group there and that sort of that peer education that goes on, but I think that's the real heart of the Donald Simpson Centre. It's that peer support that's very evident within the area itself. And, initially that's a credit back to the management and the design and all of that of the centre itself, that it actually sets up that atmosphere within the facility where that can take place.
Yeah, well, we now run information sessions on all sorts of things, like some of the changes to care and National Disability Insurance Scheme, and various things. I think our next talk, we'll have the volunteers in policing in to talk about, I think it's home security.
Yes.
We've had superannuation, we've had various things, about trying to change the format of that a little bit to get to more people, but that's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And we also have last year started running on Saturday nights, just until about 6 to 9, running cabarets here where we get come in and play. Yeah. We've had a rock band, we've had a string trio, we've had a jazz group. Our next one in May is another rock group with slightly different performers, and they sit down and have, for $10 we give them a light meal. And we serve drinks, and they listen to music, and just try to make it as much like a cabaret as we can, just to make it a relaxing evening. So,
buy some tickets to that myself. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting you both, and Bernie, particularly hearing your history there, I could have sat here all day and listened to more of it in even further detail, probably asked some very silly questions along the way. But appreciate you opening up and sharing what's obviously been quite an incredible journey for you. So thank you.
My pleasure. And thank you for the opportunity.
And Tony, also to you, thank you so much for your time. And we very much appreciate all the efforts that have gone into making the Donald Simpson Centre what it is. It's just an amazing, special place for so many people.
We think so, and we want to make it more special. We know there's a lot more work to be done. But you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you once more. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
Here on Radio COTA, it's time for the news. Hi there, Ange, and welcome to Club Radio COTA.
Oh, Club COTA, I like that.
It's got a ring, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And we're talking about seniors clubs. Our interview obviously tied well in with that. And you've got a little bit more information regarding, dare we call them, senior citizens clubs.
Sounds really old-fashioned, doesn't it?
It does.
We could just call them all Club Coda.
We could.
Why not?
Yeah.
So, benefits of senior citizen clubs. Social activities provide many benefits to people of all ages.
Mm.
Once people retire, the social interaction that they once had at work is often completely gone. Participation in social activities during older adult and senior years is important to maintain connections to other people, provides activities to look forward to, have a place to be included and valued, and a strong sense of purpose. Clubs provide activities based on the needs and interests of their members, encouraging social connections, relationship building, and mental stimulation. Clubs also provide opportunities for people to learn new skills and engage in physical activity while responding to an increasingly diverse demand of needs and interests and fostering independence and community interaction.
Yes.
According to some research, participation in clubs can slow the rate of age-related health issues, reduce the risk of depression, and improve overall health and well-being, thereby enhancing people's quality of life. Studies have concluded that successful aging is more likely when individuals are actively engaged in life, and scientists have found that maintaining social links in old age might even be more important for health than keeping fit.
Mm.
Senior centres are designated as community focal points that not only provide helpful resources to older adults, but serve the entire community with information on aging, support for family caregivers, training professionals and students, and developments of innovative approaches to aging issues. Senior centres continue to adapt, drawing on their strengths and relationships with community partners and organisations, often becoming more of a hub, linking individuals to a wider range of activities and services in the community.
Mm.
Senior centres are one of the most accessible, friendly and inexpensive places that offer programs and services that promote active engagement and enjoyment of life by older adults. To find a club near you, speak with your GP, family or friends, or head to Google.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we were talking with Bernie Cornish, it struck me how much you can think, well, I'll go to a club because they've got all these activities and things set up for me to do. Whereas it seemed talking to him that so much of what happens in his own local club
mm-hmm.
is very much peer-based. It's about support of each other. It's kind of like the Coda Peer Educators.
It is.
But in that club setting.
And really informal.
Oh, yeah.
So many things that older people can offer us. And I have to say, the story that Bernie shared with us, I could listen to over and over again.
Mm. And as you look around these centres, there are so many people that you just don't know what their background is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure each of them have got an incredible story to tell. And that's probably half of what they do there. They're sharing their life experiences and stuff with each other. And it's a great thing.
It is. And I guess it's also giving us opportunity to learn the history of our country as well and where people have come from and the diversity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's about all we've got time for, I'm sorry, today, Ange.
But I know.
Very tight schedule. We're going to leave it at that for this week. Have enjoyed your company.
As brief as it was, I've enjoyed yours as well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
I'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Cheers.
Bye.
Radio Coda is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio Coda.